You know, this happened to me last week. You know, it's like, wow, we're already at the message. And I appropriately named it, you know, help. Yeah, somebody help the boy. I need help. You know, I did have an experience. Now, I'm not sure. You know, sometimes we think, you know, in athletics, you see one side of the field kneeling in prayer, and you see another side of the field kneeling in prayer, and we think, does God really care about who wins? And yet, you know, I had an experience this week that I was going to change a part on Sherry's car. It was an O2 sensor, and not a big deal. I mean, it's just screw it out, screw it in. But the big deal is, you know, those things get rusty and tight and on. So I had some of that penetrating spray. I got a mechanic back there that he's just smiling, thinking, you know, this guy thinks he can do it. Anyway, I read up on it. I read my instructions. I sprayed it with that penetrating oil, let it set for a good hour or so. Then I came out with my specialty. I had $15. Can you imagine for a socket, just a socket to get in? Anyway, and then I put my breaker bar on it, and I gave it all that I had. It wasn't enough. If you can imagine that. Now, you know, I was laying underneath the car, so I wasn't able to get all my weight on it. I was undoing a tire one time. I had to stand on the tire iron. It gave loose then, trust me. But anyway, I'm trying to give all my, and I'm thinking, oh boy. You know, I knew, I was afraid this was going to happen. And I had prayed, God help me. You know, I pray, Lord, I need help. I need help for this thing to go smoothly because, you know, all kinds of things could happen, and you got to take it to the mechanic, and, you know, you got egg on your face, and you're, you know, I shouldn't have started this on my own in the first place. Well, then I reached up there, you know, and that thing was just finger loose, and I undid it with my fingers. Now, I'm not saying that God loosened that for me, but I'm just saying I had everything that I had on it, and it wouldn't budge. And then I put my fingers up there, and I undid it with my fingers. I don't know what happened. I still am befuddled, and that's not difficult to happen. But it was just finger time. Well, does God help you in ever-present help in times of trouble? I don't know. Well, the Word of God uses this phrase, an advocate. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Well, the word advocate is one sent to bring active help. One sent to help. An intercessor. The express purpose of the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to get this right. The express purpose and mission of the help of the Holy Spirit is that we would continue the work and the words, the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth, the church continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth. Now, if I've got some references here that you're going to have to maybe just jot down and look up later. John 14:12, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. These are the words of Jesus. And greater works than these he will do because I am going to the Father. The church. Do you understand that the church of Jesus Christ is a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth? That we will do the same things Jesus did. We'll do even more, greater. I've been teaching Ephesians in Sunday school. And when we first started, we did some background work. And in Acts chapter 19, where, who's that guy? Paul was in Ephesus, where the church of Ephesians was. Well, when he went to Ephesus, he first went to the synagogue. And he came out with 12 people. And that was the humble beginnings that the church of Ephesus started with. Paul sent out from the church of Antioch, and he was sent out along with Barnabas. And they laid hands on him, and God set him apart and sent him out. That's a missionary, by the way, someone who was sent out. And he sent him, he went to Ephesus, and 12 people, you know, wow. Ephesus was this great city, this vast big city in its time. Well, that 12 people, after Paul was teaching for 2 years, every day for 2 years, and miraculous miracles, I mean, incredible miracles being performed by God, that church grew to where it impacted the economy of Ephesus. And those who were dealing idols in the marketplace, they were upset and up in arms because their business was failing because the followers of Jesus Christ were literally having book burnings in the market squares, burning their scrolls and destroying their idols because they were now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and unashamedly proclaiming their faith in Jesus. That church went from just a little seed to this great big impact that impacted the entire city and the entire region, and other churches came spawning out of that. Wow, Ephesus. The word of God spread and grew in power, says Acts chapter 19. The name of Jesus was held in high honor. Believers openly confessed their sins and their faith, their new faith, newfound faith in Jesus. I get ahead of myself, don't I? I got ahead of myself. No, I didn't get ahead of myself. When you ask for help, you know, here, men, we don't ask for directions, do we? Because if we ask for directions, that means that we have lost our direction, we've lost our bearings, and we don't know which way to turn. So to ask for directions is rather humbling, right? So the Holy Spirit is going to humble you. That's one thing about the Holy Spirit you need to know. The humbling Holy Spirit. To ask for help means you can't do it alone. It's often seen as a sign of weakness, a dependency upon someone or something else. And, you know, I hear a lot about living off the grid. My own son is prepared to live off the grid. If the grid collapses, that's all of the electrical power and everything else that goes on around here. Are you going to survive? That's a big question in people's minds today. And so they're getting prepared to live off the grid. But how often do we do that in our faith? Are you think somehow you are able to live off the grid without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God impacting and affecting and influencing your life on a daily and regular basis? To ask for help means you lack knowledge, understanding, wisdom, experience. You lack the strength or the skills, the dexterity needed. You know, I thought there someday I'm going to need somebody that'll crawl under that car for me, and somebody that, I guess I'll take it to a mechanic then. You lack time or money. You need help. You need directions. But, you know, think about this. In the case of the Holy Spirit, God is fully aware that humans need help. That's not a question. You need help, brother. You need help, sister. You can't do this alone. And if you are trying, you're probably in trouble or failing. It's not a question of how much help you need, because the Holy Spirit is coming to transform us. That means to radically change, to do some radical stuff in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. So the big question is, are you ready to receive help? Are you receiving help? Are you ready to surrender to the Holy Spirit's control of your life? Listen to John 15:5. That's the vine and the branches, right? You guys know, all you got to do is look around. You know, there's a trunk on those trees, and it's not all about the branch. So it's not all about you and it's not all about me. It's all about the vine. And who is the vine other than Jesus Christ? And what is the sap that flows that brings fruit to the branches other than the Holy Spirit? So what does he say in John 15:5? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now you probably are saying in all of our humanism, hey, I can do a whole lot, buddy. I'm intelligent. I'm strong. I'm capable. I can live off the grid. I can find my way. I've got GPS. I don't need directions. And you don't need to stop and ask directions anymore. You got GPS. But we're not talking about this horizontal living. We're talking about your relationship with the Lord God. We're talking about continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ and building the church. And you can do absolutely zero, zilch, nothing, nada, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, we need help. I'm trying to make that a point today. But there is a danger. And we have this going on in Christianity. Somewhat two factions or two differing ideas and two dangers in terms of as we approach Scripture and do a study of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to do here, by the way, over the next whatever few weeks or months or whatever. But the first is to interpret Scripture through experience. That I've experienced something, so it must be truth. Rather than filter our experience through the truth of Scripture, we need to do that. I've been there where experience has been the key revelation of interpretation, and Scripture has been secondary. And they become false in their experience and teaching something other than what God intended for us to do. But I've also been there where, second, Scriptures are taught by the Spirit Himself, so they remain a closed book to purely human reason. If all I do is bring my human reasoning to the Scriptures, I'm going to miss what the Holy Spirit would teach me. So am I open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who is the true interpreter? So my experience has to be tempered by Scripture, the truth. And my truth needs to be experienced as well. It's a both and, not either or. Sola Scriptura, some say. Scripture alone is our authority. Reason is the supreme authority in our lives. I think, therefore I am. Now, the Catholic Church argues that we need tradition. We need the tradition of our forefathers in order to understand Scripture. So they would say Scripture plus the traditions. And then others, more of the Pentecostal, would say, I feel, therefore I am. In reality, I know and I feel, but what I believe to be true, what I know to be true in Scripture, what I've experienced through the teaching and leading of the Holy Spirit. So here, let's not get arrogant. You know, if I know a lot about the Word of God, my knowledge of the Word of God, and I would say this to you, I might know a little bit about the Word of God, but that does not make me a mature, righteous, holy Christian. I need to put that into practice. If I know what the Word of God says, but I don't take those steps of faith, all I have is knowledge and reason. I have head knowledge, but I haven't had a transformed heart and life. And some people are purely head knowledge. It's not how much I know. It's not how much I've done. It's not because I've had an experience. It's who I am right now today in my walk and my relationship with the Lord. Am I ready to take the truth of God and the Spirit of God and walk by faith to continue the work and ministry of Jesus Christ? Dangers of interpreting. Well, you know, I've heard this word, karma. Have you heard that word lately? You know, I hear it out of, I've even heard it out of Christians. You know, you better watch out. That'll give you good karma, bad karma. And I had to look up what do they mean? It's some Eastern Buddhist, a force created by a person's actions causing good or bad things to happen. So, good karma, good things are going to happen. Bad karma, bad. Some people look at the Holy Spirit like that, that it's an impersonal energy force. But the Holy Spirit, as we understand from Scripture, is a person with a personality. And again, I want to just reference some Scripture for you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it is a life-giving Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, the mind of God, except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit has a will, mind, emotions, and will. He is a person with whom we can have a personal relationship. Just like Jesus, just like God the Father, one God manifesting Himself in three persons, three personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You maybe have heard me say, I believe in the person of Jesus Christ, that He was a real person that walked the earth. I believe in the person of the Holy Spirit, not just the power of the Holy Spirit. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grief is an emotion, right? It's a real emotion. Can you imagine that when we sin, the Holy Spirit is grieved? The Holy Spirit goes into mourning because we are not surrendering our lives to the fullness and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We're somehow saying, I can do it myself. I don't need help. He's grieved. 1 Corinthians 12, 11, it is the one and the same Spirit distributing as He decides to each person who produces all these things. He's making decisions about which gift you get, which gift you get, which gift you get. It's not that we have this grocery list, oh, I want that spiritual gift to do this ministry in the church. I want that. No, the Holy Spirit has already decided. He's already decided what you get because He knows. He knows your person. He knows your personality. He knows your passions. And He's gifted you accordingly so that you can do the work of ministry of Jesus and help build the body of Christ to the glory of God. And we'll get into that later. John 14, 26. He will teach you all things. He is a personal pronoun referencing the person. Okay, so two emphases. We need help. Trust me, we need help. And we need help from the person of the Holy Spirit, not just the power, not just some, you know, may the force be with you. No, bologna cakes. We need the person of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Okay, now, this was fun for me. As Christ was obedient even unto death, so the Holy Spirit is the obedient servant as well. Can you imagine anything different? I mean, I can't imagine anything different. You know, Jesus, you know, Father, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus was on assignment. He was on assignment. He knew his assignment to crawl up on the cross and die for the sin of humanity. He was obedient unto death. Can you imagine anything different? The Holy Spirit is on assignment. On assignment from the Father God. And He is obedient, surrendered to the will of God, to the purposes of God, to the mission of God. The humble Holy Spirit, putting the Father and the Son ahead of Himself to bring glory to the Father and bring glory to the Son. Why do you think that you haven't heard a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit? Some of you. Because the glory has gone to the Father, right? The glory is to the Son, right? And the Holy Spirit is sometimes, as I understand, the silent partner in that trio. And He's always glorifying the Father. He's always glorifying the Son. He's always remaining kind of behind the scenes, humble, but obedient and hardworking as we will find out. The Father will send in my name the Spirit to teach you all things, bringing to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He will bear witness about me, Jesus is speaking. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The humble Holy Spirit. Well, this is the one that's really fun for me. The Spirit's work in Christ's humanity. Because sometimes I don't think we understand that Jesus experienced humanity in all of its fullness. He laid aside his deity. His deity was veiled in his humanity. He did not become less than God the Son, second person of the Trinity, by taking on humanity. But his deity was veiled in his humanity in order that he might experience humanity in all of its fullness. So, you know, we sometimes think that, well, certainly Jesus knew all the scriptures because he wrote them. Well, no, I think Jesus learned the scriptures as a child, just like our children need to learn the scriptures, just as we need to be taught the scriptures. Jesus, by the age of 12, when he was ready to go through his bar mitzvah, he knew the scriptures. And he had been taught and he learned the scriptures. He had the Holy Spirit teaching him, bringing to remembrance. So now as we go to Luke chapter 4, Luke is the one who is so great here. In Luke chapter 1, remember, Mary was, the Holy Spirit came upon her. And so he was right there involved in the incarnation, in God becoming flesh. The Holy Spirit was right there. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was going into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, Luke says it this way, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Well, why in the world does the second person of the Trinity need to be full of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity? Because the second person of the Trinity had veiled his deity in order that he might experience humanity to all of its fullness. Jesus was an example for us of how to live as a human and how to live in the fullness and in the power of the Holy Spirit. How to live a life surrendered to the will of God and the purposes of God. Jesus was that example for us. And so he needed the fullness of the Holy Spirit, just like you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm pointing to you, John. You do, by the way. You need lots of help, Jan told me. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. So full of the Holy Spirit, he's led by the Spirit. I get befuddled with this. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. I mean, we're having a teaching time here for Jesus. That the only way he is going to overcome the temptations of sin and Satan in our world is by the fullness of the Holy Spirit and obedience to the Word of God. It's not an either or, it's a both and. He needed the Word of God and he defeated Satan by quoting Scripture, but he defeated Satan by living in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He had help. And he came out of the wilderness and went into the Jordan in the power of the Holy Spirit, it says right there in chapter 4. So, I'm excited that Jesus, he needed help. He got help. That same help was available to you and me. So that's the benefits of grace. That's the benefits of our being saved by grace. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when we walk out in this world, it's a wilderness. We were talking about that this morning, how difficult it is. How really difficult it is to live for Christ in a world that is so un-Christ-like. How are we to speak up? How are we to express? How are we to live our faith? That is the challenge, and we need help. We need help, and we have it. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. You need to look that verse up. It is one of the great verses of the Scripture. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God generates in you and me that new life that we have in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, I don't know how we can become a new creation if it isn't God generating new life, if it isn't God creating new life in us, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. New life. New person. The old person is to die. 2 Peter 1:21, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Revelation is the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4, well, we sang that. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Ephesians, Paul prays that you and I would be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 20 of Ephesians. According to the power at work within us. Now, you know, I've shared this before, but it's one of the ways I share the power of the Holy Spirit. When I lived in Wyoming, the wind knew how to blow. Across that prairie state, it was a high plateau, higher than Denver, more than a mile high. And when the wind blew, I went to the basement because the windows rattled, everything rattled. Man, it was bad. And they said they measured the wind with a log chain. And they would nail that log chain to a post. And if it was straight out, wind was blowing pretty good that day. If it started to rattle, wiggle, well, maybe you better find cover. But it wasn't really blowing hard until it started to snap links off the end of the chain. Then you had to watch out. The wind of the Holy Spirit. We think of it as the wind that blew. The power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That resurrection power is the same power that indwells you and me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. How much power is available to us to do the work that Jesus was doing, to do even greater things, to do more, to do the same things that Jesus did, the same words, the same works, only greater. Oh, I just think, wow, we haven't even tapped. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us. It's the Holy Spirit that intercedes when we don't know how to pray. He's praying for us. It's the Holy Spirit that is working to build the church of Jesus Christ. Well, I need help. I need to be taught. I need to be guided. I need to be empowered. I want my life to be fruitful. I want to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God. So I often pray, Lord, don't waste me, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me up. So are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? You know, I think, are you fat? Think of that acrostic. Are you a fat Christian? Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? Well, we need to be teachable, right? We can be available, but if we're not teachable, we need to be before we do. We need to hear. You know, because I've been helped, think about it. Because I've experienced, because I know what the Word of God says, because I have experienced the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to be involved in, I want to be participating in, helping others to build the church to the glory of God. But you have to first be helped in order to be a helper. Has the Holy Spirit helped in your life? Well, here, you know, there's one thing that we've got to keep in mind too. Is there's one goal, one purpose, one mission. The Father, Son, and Spirit are in perfect harmony and unity. They have the same goal, the same mission, the same purpose. To continue the work of Jesus Christ in building the church to the glory of God. Saving souls. Bringing people to maturity. Call it edification and evangelism, whatever you want to call it. But it's doing the work of ministry to build the church. It's the work that only God can do. You or I cannot save a soul. But I can certainly share the gospel. I can certainly share the truth. I can certainly come in grace and love and in the power of the Spirit of Christ and share the truth and see God do what only God can do in the redeeming and saving of a soul. I can certainly be faithful in teaching the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God so that people would be built up in their faith and walk out of here and trust Him to live a life that is transformed, that is supernatural. You know, if you do what only comes naturally, well, you're not doing anything more than what anybody else in the world can do. But if you're living a life that comes supernaturally, if the fruit of the Holy Spirit is being born out in your life, by the way, that's the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. That's a transformed nature and character, isn't it? What do you get when you bite into somebody, when you run into somebody, when you bump into somebody, when somebody... Do you get love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness in this world? Probably not. But what happens when they bump into you? Do they get your flesh or do they get the Holy Spirit? Too often they've gotten our flesh, right? And more often they need to get the Spirit. A Spirit that is gracious, a Spirit that is loving, a Spirit that is kind, a Spirit that is forgiving. That's a supernatural life. It's not all about me, it's all about God. We desperately need help. Help me, Lord. The church, through evangelizing the lost, through edifying, building up those who are saved, it is going to require that we are united by the Spirit so that the world may believe. As I've read that verse, there is reasons why the world does not believe. Because we're trying to live it, this life, without the help that we need. And that is my testimony. For the first years of my life in Christ, I thought I had to work real hard to be a real good Christian, and I made a real big mess of it. But then in my mid-20s, I prayed, Lord, change me. And He's been doing that ever since. And He's still doing it, and you can say amen, because you need help, buddy. I went to John chapter 4. You know, it's an easy one to go to. Jesus is our example. John chapter 4, there's the woman at the well. Jesus went through the region of Samaria that any Orthodox Jew worth his salt would never go through Samaria, would never talk to a woman alone, let alone a Samaritan woman at the well. And here's Jesus. He's talking to the woman at the well. So what example does He give us? It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what walk of life. It doesn't matter what. We need to build a bridge. We need to build a bridge and build a relationship. Now, the disciples, what are they doing? They're out looking for food, right? So they're going to McDonald's for French fries and hamburgers while Jesus is there at the well building a relationship with someone that they've been taught and trained to not have anything to do with that person. So Jesus is having a conversation with her. What does He talk to her about? Talks to her about her family. Talks to her about her marriage. And finds out, you know, what that background is. Well, she's on her fifth husband. And that one he's with, not even her husband. So, you know, all that stuff comes out in conversation. She's a sinner that needs a Savior. Guess what? Just like every other human being on the face of the earth. So he does family background, then he does church bound. Where do you worship? Oh, we worship up on Mount Gerizim. Oh, yeah, I know you Jews worship down in Jerusalem. You think your place is better than our place, but what the hell? He's doing her church background, you know? It isn't where in the place we worship, it's the person. It's not the place, is it? It's not Middle Creek Christian Church or so-and-so other church. It's not the place that is sacred, it's the person. Oh yeah, the Messiah's coming. Well, the Messiah's standing right in front of you, lady. Oh yeah, the Messiah's coming. Well, let me tell you about the one who's living in me. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the living God. And let me tell you about how he's changed my life. If you had what I had, you'd have living water. You wouldn't need to be dipping out of this well. Oh yeah, you need that temporary Band-Aid, you know, physical fix to quench your thirst. But I'm talking about quenching a thirst so you would never be thirsty again. Living water. A new life in Christ. A life that is transformed. I'm talking about the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'm talking about the best decision I ever made. I'm talking about a life-changing, transforming, supernatural. And he lives in me. Our God is awesome. Don't you want him? Don't you want that kind of help for your life? Well, you know what? Jesus only witnessed to one person that day, the woman at the well. She did greater things than Jesus did. She took that to the town. She took that to the city of Sychar. And because of her testimony, many people believe. So it's all right there for us in Scripture. Jesus shows us how to build a bridge, how to engage in a relationship. You just talk to people about their life. You talk to people about your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the transforming living water that you have. And then she went to the city and told the people that testimony, and many believed because of her testimony. And then they came to say, now we no longer believe just because you told us. Now we believe because we've experienced Jesus Christ ourselves. And the truth that you told us is now our personal experience. And we have Jesus. Well, that's how the church is built, by the way. I don't know any other way to do it. People need Jesus. People need help. People need the Holy Spirit. And you know, I thank God for helping me undo that little O2 sensor. Because I was worried that I have to take it to Tom or somebody else and have egg all over my face. But I am more thankful for the opportunities to minister in the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit to the glory of God. Not just to give someone a drink of water, but to give them living water, a brand new life in Jesus that comes only through the work of the Spirit. We need help. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our experience of the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us. We pray, Lord, first of all, that we would recognize our need for help. And Lord, we pray that you would use us to build your church. You'd use us for your glory, Lord. We know you help us in our time of need, when we're sick, when we're stressed, all those occasions of life, you are right there for us because we are your dearly loved children. But as we experience, Lord, your help, help us, Lord, to want to go and help others so they too could know you, not just intellectually, but experientially, Lord. That they could have a relationship with the Father with the Son and with the Spirit, a triune God who has manifested and revealed himself to us in three persons. A God who is united, and we want to be united with you as we continue your work on planet Earth until you come and for your glory. Lord, I can imagine that there are those of us who know nothing of the Spirit of Christ living in our lives. I could imagine, Lord, that there are those of us who might arrogantly think they have more of the Spirit than others. Lord God, I pray for your Spirit to be at work in Middle Creek Christian Church to do what only you can do, to reach people, loving them into your kingdom as we tell them about Jesus, to build people up in their faith that would be all about Jesus. It's not what we do, it's not who we are, it's who you are and what you have done that we want to share with the world. We thank you for those opportunities. Help us to look forward to those opportunities. Help us to seek out those opportunities. Help us to be courageous and bold. Help us to be clear in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.